Welcome to Cub Chat Live. This is a weekly show for Cub Chat leaders, new Cub Chat families, and anyone looking to make the youth serving programs in the Boy Scouts of America, awesome. If you're listening to the audio version of today's show, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. If you're watching live with us today, please comment along in the live chat and be sure to check out our audio version of the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yes, we're a podcast too. Check it out. Okay, here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cub Chat Live. We're joined by a face who's maybe new to you, but she has been working behind the scenes on your behalf for a while. We're joined by Tamara Christensen, we just talked about this, who is a council commissioner, and she's on the National Cub Scouting Committee. Tamara, thanks for being on the show.
Okay, so I'm just going to say it's a little bit of a fangirl moment for me, Gina, because I love Cub Chat Live, and what an honor it is to be here and to be with you. I mean, I'm a huge fan. I just want to say that.
Okay. We are a huge fan of you. Luckily, Tamara and I met a little bit earlier this year, at least face-to-face. Again, we've been on some of the same email chains and things, but face-to-face, and it was very, very cool to get to meet, like I said, one of the people who's like working on behalf, you know, a true volunteer, working on behalf of everybody who's watching here. We've got one of you guys' favorite topics, I think it's safe to say, that we are covering today, which is Cub Scout research. These are always our favorite episodes. And we've got to present it in a pretty cool way today, don't we?
I think so. Because, you know, in the Cub Scout committee, we like to make things fun, right? Simple and easy. But we're going to have a lot of fun today. I'm just going to kick it off. And thank you so much, Gina. You're such a warm and welcoming hostess. I was a den leader for 5 years, so I get it. It's a lot to be a leader and to be that kind of commitment. And you're probably wondering when we roll out changes, oh no, another change, like what's going on now? How is that happening? Are they just deciding this all based on their own opinion? And so this presentation is one we gave at the National Annual Meeting. And by the way, if you weren't there, we missed you. We would like you to be with us next year, right, Gina? Like, wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
The more Cub Scout people that could come to National Annual Meeting, the better the meeting would be, right?
It's really, really fun. And it's not too early to start planning, you know, just, you know, come out late,
exactly.
Spring,
hang out
early summer.
Gina.
Yes.
Gina, come on.
Okay, I'm no big deal, but you're the big deal. I want to have you on every episode. You've already hyped me and made me feel really good. I'm going to be feeling good for a few weeks now. So thank you. Awesome. A quick shout out to Pac-52. You're also getting some shout outs in the comments. People are so glad to have you on. Elizabeth, one of our regular viewer, says hello to my friend, Tamara.
Excellent. Love Elizabeth. She is such an awesome person too. Always helping out. And welcome Pac-52. Excited that you're here. We are always looking for data. You know, when we're making decisions on the Cub Scout committee, we do a lot of different things. A lot of different stuff floats past us. And it would be easy to go, you know, when I was a den leader, like this worked well for me. So obviously it would work well for everyone, but that's actually not true, right? Just because it worked well for me or worked well for one of my friends doesn't mean it's going to work well for everyone. And so the only real way that we can make sure that we're creating change that's really amazing for everyone is to ask you for your opinion. So Pac-52, Elizabeth, everyone on here, if you've ever filled out a survey, thank you. You are the reason why these changes are going to be awesome is because of you. Because you may think that you fill that survey out, nobody's reading it, who cares what I think? We care what you think. I have read so much information coming off those surveys. We've learned so much and we have fine-tuned the things we're working on. So we are data informed in every decision we do. So I thank you. I applaud you. You guys are rock stars. So this is what we presented at National Annual Meeting. We thought this is important stuff. We need to bring this to the masses, to the people who helped like answer these questions. We need to bring this to you. So we decided that it would be super fun to have this as a game. So Gina and I are going to lead you through this. Let's see how you do. Are you a Cub Scout master? Are you surprised by some of this? For me, when I took it, I was like, thought I would do really well. I did really well in some areas, but not great in others. So let's see how you guys do.
I did okay when I did it, but some of these answers surprised me. So guys, you definitely want to tune in. Obviously, if you are watching, tag a fellow leader or parent right now so that they can tune in as well. And also before we get going, I just want to give another shout out to Tamara for joining us today and to the whole Cub Scout committee, our national committee, and Anthony. You guys, I'm thinking about all of your faces and you right now have really pushed us to, as Anthony says, like, listen to the data, not opinions, not just, you know, somebody's opinion here or there. And as somebody who has no say in any of the program changes, but does get to communicate about when these changes happen, we've seen a market change. I'm thinking about, you know, this newest information as we're talking about family dens. It was well received. Everybody was happy about it. They were like, hey, we've been asking for this. It wasn't like, oh, we made this decision in a vacuum. We don't know how it's going to work. It's just like you said, but we, you know, thank you guys for answering surveys. Thank you, committee, for listening to the surveys. We just appreciate you. And now I appreciate that you have prepared a fun game for all of us.
Exactly. Because on a Friday, we all need a fun game, right?
Yes.
So, okay. So we're going to kick off with a question. So you'll have four options. So first of all, I preface this by saying, if you are driving, this may not be the game for you.
But come back and play later.
Yeah, right. But if you're on a place where you can think, pop the answer into the chat window so we can see who amongst you are the Cub Scout Masters. So, all right. So we'll go to the first question. What percentage of Cub Scouts received the World Conservation Award patch? I love this patch, by the way. I love panda
boards. I love a panda.
So stinking cute. Okay. A, 22%, B, 1%, C, 18%, or D, 6%. Okay, I give it some thought here.
Yeah, so I'm already seeing that we're getting a lot of Cs, which is 18%. So you guys are thinking relatively high in terms of the spread of answers we've got here.
Okay, and
I see a B.
Okay.
But mostly I'm seeing Cs, Ds.
Okay, Ryan, thanks for playing. Alex, okay, D, all right.
I think the consensus we're getting is C.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to have you lock in your answers now. And what's the answer? It's going to surprise people, I think. Are you able to press? There you go. 1%. I know this is shocking because I know our pack. So if I had answered this and thought, oh, of course everyone does this, but only 1%. So that was surprising, right? Okay, so we're going to go to the next question. What percentage of leaders indicated that the outdoor activity award was the incentive to conduct outdoor activities? A, 72%, B, 45%, C, 88%, or D, 12%?
Okay, so I want to just clarify what this question means. It's asking, I'm asking you, Tamara. Okay. You
know that. I thought you were going to clarify for us.
No, like, I can't clarify. Know? I'm wondering. So this means like how many leaders use the Outdoor Activity Award as their incentive to do outdoor activities, right?
Right. So like I wasn't really going to go on a camp out, but then I decided to go on the camp out because this award or an award, you know, like wanted me to.
Okay. Well, most people are saying D for sure.
Okay. Okay, Katie, thank you. David, he's on it. Rusty, excited. Okay, Mike, seems to be leaning towards D. Luke.
Yeah, I'm thinking D. I think D based on our audience.
Okay, all right. Let's go with the answer is.
Ta-da! Yes.
You guys are so good, see? Totally used.
So they knew that one. The first one was a surprise, the World Conservation Award.
It was because the patch is so cute.
I know, it's hard to believe.
Right? Okay, let's go to our next question. We got some really smart people on this call. Okay. All right. On average, what percentage of Cub Scouts earn any given elective adventure? A, 8 to 12%, B, 30 to 35%, C, 15 to 25%, or D, 38 to 40%.
Okay, I think this question is tricky. I think it's a hard one to answer because on one hand, you're like, well, the elective adventures are really fun. On the other hand, you're like, there are a decent amount of them. So at any given time, you're not expecting maybe a ton of, I don't know.
I know, this could go either way. Cindy says C, okay. Emily, C, okay, so.
I'm seeing Elizabeth, C, A, B, Elizabeth. And D. But mostly C's.
Okay. Rusty says C.
Yep.
Jean A. Yeah, kind of all over the place, right? Because this one's not easy, I think.
I think
so. Electives required to earn a rank. Yes, a certain amount of electives are required to earn a rank, but this is like saying,
choose.
Yes, you get to choose which one. So then that, you know, how many are in each one? So, all right.
It's like school. It's a lot like school where you might get three electives to choose from, but you have to choose one to fill out your schedule.
Right. Exactly. All right. So we locked in our answers. Go ahead. And the answer C.
You guys got it. I think that was the consensus.
The overwhelm. See, we got a lot of really smart people on this
call. I know.
I need to figure out how we can utilize that genius to help with more stuff.
Yeah. Hey, guys, there's always chances to volunteer.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So we'll go into the town. We're going to talk a little bit about the data because people always ask, well, how many people did you survey? I mean, did you survey a lot of people? So a survey was sent to 18,376 parents. It's very specific, isn't it? And 36,487 den leaders. So that's a lot. 3,637 people responded, which is a 6.6 response rate. And in case you're sitting there going, wow, that's not a, like a great response rate. It actually is a great response rate. If we get 5% or more, that's considered a good response rate. So, yes. So again, if you were part, how many of you have participated in a Cub Scout survey? You can just like raise your hand or say, yeah, me. I want to thank you again, because I can't thank you enough, because I know how busy you are. You're leaders, you're Cub Scout leaders, you have young kids. And you took the time to give us data in the survey. And that is so huge. And I really thank you. We could not do what we do without your help and without your data. So what we came up with out of the data, it showed us that awards are not driving behavior. And that is not to say that in the past, awards may have driven behavior. But today, with today's parents and today's leaders, it is not driving behavior. And we see that 2 out of 3 people who were surveyed think of them as recognition, but not an incentive. So the next thing that we always hear is, oh, well, it's because they didn't know about it. The reason why they didn't earn the Cute Panda Award, right, is because they didn't know about it. But we also surveyed, like, did you earn this award? And if you didn't earn the award, did you know about it? And 50% of the people that said that they didn't earn the award indicated that they knew about the award, but they chose not to do it.
To chime in, it seemed like some of our volunteers watching kind of knew that awards weren't big drivers for Cub Scouts. And I think this is interesting. Maybe one day there'll be a survey on this, because my inkling, but not the data, tells me, it gives me kind of a, I lean towards thinking like Cub Scouts don't really think, you know, they're new-ish to scouting. Right. They're not necessarily, they're just kind of trying to do the program at that point.
Right.
Where I see a lot of youth having interest in like the obscure awards is like kids kind of late into the program.
Older youth programs. Yes,
exactly. Or even kids who've gotten Eagle Scout, or they've gotten whatever the highest rank in their program is, and they're looking for other ways to stay engaged. Then they want those obscure awards.
Right. And I totally agree with you. No data to prove that. But
one day maybe we'll find out. But thanks to the Cub Scout committee, we do know about the Cub Scout age.
Right. And I feel like Cub Scout leaders, you're trying to make sure you have a really fun, awesome, engaging program, you know, where everyone, the whole family is engaged and we're having a great time and we're getting outdoors or we're doing Pinewood Derby or we're doing whatever, right? I mean, we just want to have a lot of fun and we want to make it simple and easy. And that's what we're worried about, right? We're not worried about the award that we might get because we did all this stuff.
If you're a 10-year-old, I mean, how many 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds do you think are like, I want to win the World Conservation Award? That's just, you know.
But they might go, I'd like to have the panda
patch. That's right. That is true. There are a lot of panda patches out there, though.
Okay. So the other part of this that was not, I don't think this is going to be a surprise, because the people that are currently on this chat are so smart. And this is what I saw in our den and our pack too, that duty to God is not really well done in a den meeting setting, that it's really better done at home. And so that was very consistent throughout all of our respondents. So I don't think that surprises people, because I think people have naturally gone to that because that just makes more sense. So I thought that was the other part of the survey data that we found.
Now, guys, we're honest. So we're going to bring up the counterpoints that some of you guys are making in the comments. A lot of you are saying, nope, my kids love awards. They especially love some of the STEM awards. And Ryan is saying, I think this is a good point, Ryan, but you know, with just kind of like the limitations that we have, but he thinks 50% awareness rate may very well be skewed by who is responding. That's fair. You're kind of,
yeah,
you've got a different, you know, group. So that's why we're excited to keep serving all of you in our next.
Yeah. I mean, this is exciting because, and truly when you tell us all this stuff, we are taking this back too. Like, this is important and this is a great dialogue. And I'm so excited to be on with all these smarty pants, like people who have so many great ideas and input. This is awesome. I love it.
Me too. Okay, so we have a few more questions.
Oh yeah, we do.
No, I mean, we've got some more quiz questions.
Yes. So let's see how you do on these. Okay. Go ahead with our next question. So on average, what percentage of parents indicated that their child enjoyed the Protect Yourself Rules video? A, 65%, B, 45%, C, 92%, and D, 78%. And I just shout out on this, like, how the Barbara Sinatra Children's Center Foundation, who's considered one of the leading experts in child abuse prevention, it's so amazing to have partnered with that organization. And I can't imagine a more difficult subject matter to create content for than this. So the fact that we are surveying people and we're finding out this, okay, Wendy's saying B, Mike's saying D. I like Mike's, like, his picture.
Yes, he's Catherine Hobbs.
Yes, I love it.
The Chris answer on this one shocked me. I remember it shocked me. And in case you're answering this and you've never maybe seen the Protect Yourself Rules video.
Your Tiger Den had a lot of fun doing that adventure. Awesome.
In case you haven't seen these, you can Google them and they're, you know, you can view them on YouTube and just check them out to see if this answer surprises you. Maybe you'll feel differently after you watch them.
It's amazing. I went through all of them. And then Luke says his scouts enjoy them. Yeah.
Hint, hint.
I know, right? So I went through them all. And then my friends that weren't in scouts, I like said, you need to do this with your children because this is so good that everyone would benefit from doing this. It's a difficult subject matter, but so well done.
They're all publicly available, worth noting. Like, you can share them from YouTube to anybody.
Exactly.
All okay, right. We should reveal. Locked
in. Okay, let's reveal. You're going to be surprised. 92%. I'm excited by that because I think this is difficult, but very important. And I think these are so well done. So I'm so glad that people enjoy doing these with their children and that they're so well received.
The concept of them, to me, when they first rolled out, was novel because we educate adults, we educate adults, and we should continue to, of course. But I had never seen videos for youth that were about protecting yourself.
I know. I was amazed.
For such young youth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, young. And then very age appropriate all the way up, you know?
Yes.
It's just so, continue to be very impressed by that. Mm-hmm. We have another question. Okay, let's go. All right, how many councils participated in the Family Den pilot program? And bonus points if you say, yes, my council participated. Like, I would love to know. Like, let's see what we
have. Am I right that it was an opt-in? Like, you could just opt in? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's the way a lot of our pilot programs work. You kind of opt in, and I'm anxious to see what people are saying.
Oh.
Come on, yay, Kristen. Woo. And what was your answer, Kristen? B. Okay, 23.
So
okay.
A couple B's. Another people saying their council participated.
Yay, my council participated. Our PAC was sort of part of a pilot and we loved it. Yay, I'm glad about that.
Seeing A's and B's, 1D.
23, I asked our council to opt in, but they chose not to. Oh, I'm sad about that. We did. Great, Nicole.
How do you find out about pilot programs, Mike asks.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. And we'll get through this. And then can you remind me, Gina, we'll talk about the pilot program.
Definitely.
Okay. My council participated. Great, Angela.
I've seen a good amount of A's, B's, and D's, and absolutely zero C's. So.
Okay. And the answer is? Yes. We had a lot of people participate. So in case you don't know what the Family Den pilot, because there could be somebody on there that doesn't know what this is. I didn't know this was only a pilot. So it's probably for the reason now, right? Because
that's what happens when a pilot goes well.
Right? When you have 50% of your council is doing it, you think, oh, we only have one PAC in our council not doing it. Jillian, yeah, exactly. Because the Family Den pilot program allowed PACs, remember before you were told you have to, if you have a tiger den, for example, you have to have a tiger den for boys and a tiger den for girls. And then you have to have a leader for both. So when COVID hit, the pandemic hit, and pack sizes dropped over the entire nation, it wasn't just your pack, it was everyone's packs, unfortunately. You were left with like one tiger boy and two tiger girls and one leader. And it was really hard. How do you make that work? So the family den pilot allows you to combine boys and girls like they are in school together and run the dens that way. And so most people thought that made a lot of sense. It would made it easier. Certainly makes it easier when you're starting up a new pack, when you have small size dens, you can move them together. So what are they saying, Gina?
Alex has a funny comment, which, hey, I'm glad it worked out. They didn't, because you had to agree not to continue the family den if they didn't roll it out. And we were going to do it anyways, because it worked very well for us. So I'm so glad that now it's officially, you know, part of the program.
Good, Alex.
Everyone is just saying yay. This has been my favorite rollout ever. All the comments are positive. I haven't seen anything negative, knock on wood.
I know. And honestly, the reality is we heard from a lot of dens that were kind of like, maybe like Alex's, where they were kind of having to do it, you know, kind of because they kind of were trying to make it all work. And we just want to have a great program. We want to support the youth and our families. And it just made sense. So I think that people like Alex came forward and told us that, and then we're able to make this pilot. And
yes. And this is our A team. Ryan just took the words out of my mouth. This is our A team watching right now. You know, this is very engaged volunteers we have tuned in. Think of all the brand new families around the country who have a son and a daughter, and they were bringing them to the same meeting, and they have, and probably still have, no idea that that wasn't just how it worked.
Exactly. We want to make it fun, easy, and simple. I promise you that is our mantra through everything we do. So we're so glad that that's worked out well. And I think there's
one big question.
All right. Bring it at home. Participating packs in the Family Den Pilot grew year-end membership by what percentage compared to non-participating packs, which grew by 16%? So A, 5%, B, 14%, C, 9%, and D, 20%. I think this one is easy, but anyway.
I think so too.
Let's see.
Not surprising.
Let's see.
Yeah, everybody knows. They know.
Everybody knows. Because these are the smarty. This is the smarty group. I'm telling you.
Also, just logically, we made it easier on parents. So
right.
It was easier. If we make it easier to bring your child to a meeting, they're probably going to come.
Exactly. All right. So these guys know the answer. Absolutely. Yeah. So the answer is, not surprising, D, 20%. So then our next slide, I'm just going to go over a little bit about the data.
This is cool.
Yeah. So the Family Den Pilot Program was 150 councils, so 2,178 packs. So a really nice pilot program. That's a pretty big pilot. We saw our fall membership, more girls and more boys. And we did it across both non-participating packs and participating packs. But you'll see that we had a 3% more membership increase in the ones that were family dens in the participating packs. And then you see our year-end membership growth for participating packs was 20.1%, and our non-participating packs was 16%. So then we talk about net promoter scores, and you guys might be experts in net promoter scores. I know that I was not, Gina. I'll admit this.
It's kind of confusing.
I was not. So this is not a BSA thing, in case you were thinking, oh, is this something Boy Scouts made up? No, this is actually an industry-wide standard. So what we do is when we survey people, we ask them, hey, how likely are you to recommend Cub Scouts to your friends and family? And if they give us a high score, then it gives us a plus one. If they give us kind of a medium score, this becomes a zero, like it's in the middle. It doesn't help us or hurt us. And if they give us something that's on the lower end of the spectrum, it becomes a detractor. So what they take is the ones that were high promoters, and they subtract the detractors, and then that gives you this score. So 30 is considered a good net promoter score. So you see that the participating packs net promoter score at 52 is really good. Like that's really good. So that means that the overall experience of these families in these family den pilot program are very positive, and they want other people to join Cub Scouts, which is of course what all of us want. You'll see in our non-participating packs, it's still a good number at 37.96, But I mean, obviously, we always want awesome or great, which is 52, you know, it's definitely a better.
That's our best. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's kind of like where I think that's our final slide, but I just want to, I will happily answer questions, but I just want, let's, you know, we can answer some questions. Gina, I know you had one about how do you participate in the Family Den pilot program?
Yes.
You don't even have to participate in the pilot anymore because it's a real thing. It's been rolled out. And you can just do that.
And if you're wondering, I think you, maybe that person was wondering, how do you just find out about pilot programs in general? Well, stay tuned to your council for sure. Right. Also subscribe to newsletters like the Aaron on Scouting newsletter. Whenever we have, you know, open opportunities to join a pilot program or we're promoting it to your council, often we post that news there. So that's Aaron on Scouting. If you Google that, you'll find that.
And, you know, you could always, I'm just saying, come to Cub Chat Live, because a lot of times we'll be talking about these different pilot programs and stuff too that are coming up. Sometimes that'll be there too. But I love your Aaron on Scouting idea. I think that's a great way.
Yes, stay attuned to the social media channels for sure.
Council probably has social media channels as well. Sometimes it's hard to know what those are, but I know a lot of times they'll post out, hey, we're looking for people who are willing to be in this pilot.
Luke has a question, and I don't know if we have the answer or not, but he's asking, so when we're looking at that net promoter score, does that also include spring recruitment? It says year end, so that could skew the numbers.
So I believe that the graph, you mean the net promoter, on the net promoter?
I think he's talking about the net promoter scale.
The net promoter scale. So that's a great question. I'll have to go back and ask Anthony on that.
I think it is a year. So it includes a spring recruitment. I don't know if it's a spring recruitment after or before the fall, but it's a good question.
Okay. So we can,
we'll come back to you.
Yeah. We'll follow up on that one. Okay.
That's a great question.
If you get the stump the host award, right?
Well, the net promoter score is kind of a complicated metric for me even to just like call to memory what that means every time, but it is simple just to think, basically, again, you're asking families, do you recommend this program or not? Or how likely are you to recommend this program? And to me, again, it makes sense. They're more likely to recommend it if we make it more accessible to their family. And if you could drive to two places or one, if you have two kids, which one's easier for you?
Exactly. Our parents are busy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
Are there other questions?
We have a ton of shout outs. We have a lot of viewers. Guys, keep your questions coming. Even after today's show is live, you'll be able to review today's show. You'll be able to send it as a link and we'll be looking at comments. So if you have any great questions, we'll jump in there and give you some answers. Shout out to all of you guys whose councils participated in the pilot program. Shout out to you if they didn't, because now it's, you know, launching everywhere if you're a unit ops in. And then shout out to a few packs that I didn't get to mention at the top of the show. I saw some numbers I want to read. Oh, Troop 38, Pack 38, Pack 1, Pack 92, Pack 84.
Nice.
Pack 416, Troop 1534, Pack 510. Guys, thank you for tuning in today. Pack 21, thanks for tuning in. Please keep tuning in. We will be back. I think we have a couple best of episodes coming up for Cub Chat Live. And then we will be back in a couple weeks, Friday, 2 p.m. Central. We're also live on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Central for Trek on Tuesday. We got lots of good stuff coming your way. This coming Trek on Tuesday is joke focused. You're going to want to be there. I know you volunteers have a lot of good jokes, so we need you there. You can also check out past episodes of Cub Chat Live at the URL at the bottom of the screen. Tamara, is there anything else you want to add? Anything we've missed?
I just wanted to, again, thank you guys for filling out the surveys. You guys are rock stars. Love all of you. I think the key takeaway is, remember, we're data informed. We're not sitting around, Gina and I, what are our opinions on something? It's all based on data, all based on the stuff you give us. If you get a survey from us, please fill it out so that we can continue improving Cub Scouts and doing it in a way that's really meaningful for you and your pack and your den. And super appreciate you guys.
When you were talking about responding to surveys and surveying everybody, I forgot to tell you, everyone was like, yeah, we love to give our opinion. Ryan's got a funny joke. He says, the next survey is two-night camping, right? Hint, hint. We hear you, Ryan. We always love your feedback. We're always taking it to heart. The committee is always looking at your comments, so keep them coming.
Excellent.
And with that, Thank you for joining today's show. I demand that you come back because you are just so lovely to be on with.
I would love to come back. Absolutely. It would be my pleasure.
And thanks for doing a, you know, like a fun game with us today. Sometimes we're information heavy, so this is a great way to present it.
Awesome.
Well, we will see you next time. Everybody, we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend and see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live. Except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.